It's okay. I know he loves me, so that's okay. So, as you can tell, Pastor Brian's not here. He's on a much-needed vacation. Pastor Brian and his family does a lot for the church. So pray that they have a good, restful week, and I pray that they'll get the much relax that they need to have for this week. But as I begin to think about this week, I begin to think about God begin to show me some things, and I want to kind of start in on Monday evening. Me and Danny Orr, we went to a memorial service for a young man who passed away last weekend, and we got to the service, and there were so many people there. The guy was really well liked and really well known in the community, and but one thing pointed out to me, and I began to watch it, and the thing that stuck with me, that God was really laying on my heart, was the amount of young people that was there. Now, this guy, he was only 22 years old, and a lot of his friends and a lot of people were there to support the family, of course, and to support just everything that was going on in that situation, and you know, I kind of stepped back, and when I go to any kind of function, whether it was last night or the memorial service, I kind of watch and I see what is going on. And the one thing that God kind of spoke to me about was, where is the vision for this group of people? And I begin to think about, okay, God, what are you trying to get? What are you kind of trying to show me? Well, as the week went on, He showed me a few other things, and you know, the question that he kept asking me is, where is your vision for my people? Where is your vision for your neighbor? And last night there was a video played, and the question was, is how much hate has to be in our lives that we don't witness to the person next to us? We don't know who's saved. We don't know who's a part of God's family. Only our own personal life, and God knows who is saved and who's not saved. Why are there not more people getting saved for the cause of Christ? We say we're Christians. We say we're part of God's family. But yet, all we do is come and sit on a pew and then leave, and nothing more is done. And I'm talking to myself before I talk to anybody else, because God's challenged me this week about this very thing. Where is my vision for his people? So this morning, I want to ask you the same question that he's asked me. Where is your vision to reach people for the cause of Christ? And I begin to think about that, and I begin to ask God, okay, I want you to show me this. And he began to show me in the Bible that, number one, we have to have our priorities set in place. We have to have our priorities in the right steps. Number one, our relationship with God, and this is all just introduction, but our relationship between ourselves and God has to be right. The plan that he has placed in my life is a little bit different than the plan that he places in your life. I talked about this morning how Jesus told the 11 disciples to go and tell. Go tell everybody around us what God has done for us. That he's died on the cross for us. That he took that beating. Guys, and that beating was very terrible. You know, back then, and I told the teenagers this, do you know if they gave them 40 lashings with that cat of nine tails, you know they would let them go? That's if a human being, if a man or a woman had lasted through those 40 lashings, they would have said, okay, you can leave. And they would let that person go. You know why they only did 39? Because they didn't want to let them go. They wanted to cause so much harm and so much grief because they hated what he stood for. They hated what he was teaching. But he took that not for himself, but for us. So that he could die on that cross. Blood beaten and tore apart. But you know, like I've heard it so many times, anybody can just die for somebody. But the most important part is that he rose again for us on that third day in a borrowed tomb. He, you know, they borrowed that tomb because you know why? Because he knew and God knew that that tomb wasn't going to be there for him forever. That he was going to rise on that third day. And that he is going to be living for us each and every day. That he is up there in heaven right now interceding for us. He is saying, God, these are my people. I love them. Look at my blood that was shed for them. And he says, I love you. And he wants us to tell everybody what he has done for us. So first and foremost, our relationship with him has to be where he wants it to be. His will has to be in our lives. Ourselves have to get out of the way so he can increase in our life. Paul says, I must decrease so he can increase in our lives. So he can show out. But then number two, if you look at the book of Genesis, you see that God created man first. He created man first. Then he created family, number two. Our family, the will of God in our families have to be strong. We have to be doing the plan that God has placed in our lives before anything else can grow. Our church is only as strong as our families are. And if our families are not strong, then our church is not going to be doing nothing. It can't grow. It can't get bigger. It can't do anything for the cause of Christ. Because our families, if they're not together serving God, then nothing can be done. We're just a bunch of people going here, yay, yonder ways. We're like the church of Thyatira. They were busybodies. They were just doing just to check a mark off. Our families need to be strong. Your relationships, young people, teenagers, young adults, if you're not married yet or if you're going to get married or the situations in life that arises, you got to search God's will out for your life. Don't just do it because that's what you want to do, because I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to work out. I ran from God for 3 years about not preaching. 3 years, and those were the three longest years of my life. I'll tell you that right now. God will get your attention, and he wants you to serve him, and he wants you to get yourself out of the way and to serve him. So once we get our relationship as individuals together, then once we get our families strong in the Lord and serving God for him, not for ourselves, but for him, then next our church. Our church will then be strong, and our church then can grow, and our church then can then be full of spirit-filled people. And then we can reach people for the cause of Christ. You know, while we're just here and we're not seeing people come to Christ, not just in this church, but in every church across America, it's not because God's not working, because he's trying to work, he's trying to grow, and he's trying to reach people for God. But it's because we ourselves, we're too selfish. And I'm starting with my own self. And God's like, no, if you just let me use you, you'll see a great thing go through your community and through your state and through your nation. It's not about us. It's all about God. So this morning, what is our vision for ourselves through God? What is our vision through God for our families? And what is our vision through God for our church? And how do we get that vision? So in Mark, if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter number 8 is where we're going to be at this morning. Mark chapter 8, verse 1 through 10 is where we're going to be at this morning. I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge myself. God has challenged me so much this week about our vision and what we're doing for Christ. And the reason why I say that, and what I believe God is trying to get, time is drawing near. The day is coming where the Lord is at hand. He is right on the door, coming back to get us. And it's important that we be about his business and serving him for what he wants us to do. And it's important that we take heed to what he says for us to do. So, in chapter number 8, verse number 1, it says this, "And in those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them," and in verse 2 of chapter 8, he says this, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they have been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own house, they will faint by the way.
for divers of them come from afar. And his disciples answered to him, from whence a man can satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have you, or have ye? And they said, seven. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took seven loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples and set forth them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fish, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. And they did eat, and they were filled. And they took up of the broken meat and that was left in seven baskets. And they had eaten where about 4,000, and they sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with the disciples and came into the parts of the Dalmatians. And the Pharisees came forth and began to answer with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there is no sign be given unto this generation. I know it went a little further than I said, but in these 10 verses, I think Jesus clearly speaks about the vision of how we can have a vision of ministry in our lives. So before we dive in, let's pray over the reading of God's word. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word, and thank you for giving us in the English language that we can understand and put in our hearts and live for you. God, I pray for the next few moments. I pray that you help us to take this word and use it for your kingdom. And God, up and give you glory and honor for everything that you've done. God, hide me behind the cross. God, help me not to be seen, but you to speak through me, for I'm just a mouthpiece. God, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Mark chapter 8, verse number 1 through 10, we see where Jesus feeds a multitude of people. But we also see a vision that he has for people. In number one, the first three verses, we see a vision that comes from a concern of people. If we want a vision of ministry for Jesus, first we have to be concerned about people and their eternity, where they're going to be. See, that's what Jesus, he wasn't just talking about their practical needs. He was also trying to show them that they had a spiritual need too as well. And so in verse number one, he says, or verse number two, he says that he had a compassion for the multitude. Right there, he was already concerned. That first sentence in that second verse, he says, I have a compassion for these people, that there is a need that needs to be met. And I have compassion for them. Do you have compassion for your neighbors? Do you have compassion for the people who have done you wrong? What about the people up in leadership of our nation and our state and our community? Do you have passion for them? Because God tells us to have passion for everybody. And he tells us that we need to pray for them and be concerned about their eternity. I don't want to see nobody go to hell. I don't want to see them to go to this torment of place of torment and of pain. It's not a party down there, guys. I'm going to be honest. It's a place where you're going to be away from God forever and ever and ever. You know, that's the worst part of hell. It's not the gnashing of teeth. It's not the fire that burns there. It's not where the worm crawls. You know, it's a place where God's goodness is away from you forever. And it's a place where God's goodness is never going to come back. It's always going to be gone. And if you, right now is the time that if you're not part of God's family, the first decision that we have to make is become part of God's family. It's to ask him to save you and become the Lord of your life. Because before anything else can happen, that has to happen. Before we can have true concern for our neighbors and true concern for everybody around us, we have to have Jesus Christ's love in our hearts and in our lives. So he had a concern for the community that was there, which is the multitude that was following him. But he had also had a concern for the emptiness that was there. So he had compassion, and he had He had that already for the community, but he had a concern because they weren't being practically met. Their practical means weren't being met at that moment. They had followed Jesus for 3 days and apparently hadn't eaten. Now, if most of us, if I go 3 hours, if I haven't ate in 3 hours, I tend to get hangry. I don't know about you guys, but I have to snack on something every now and again. That's why I'm so out of shape and overweight. But these people hadn't eaten for 3 days. How do you think they were? They were probably a little hangry at each other, if I had to take a guess. But Jesus had concern for their practical needs too as well. If we want to help people, their eternal needs is most important. But next we need to meet some practical needs. And we need to be willing to help somebody in our community. And in verse 2, he continues on and he says that they because he has compassion on the multitude because they have been with him for 3 days. In verse number 3, he says, "And if I send them away, that they will faint or that they will fall by the wayside." And then in verse number 4, he asked the question the disciples asked him a question, from whence the man can satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness. He's like, how are we going to feed these people? The disciples doubted a lot. Don't we do the same thing? I do. I asked God this question this week. Now, how am I going to do this plan that you've set in front of me? God, these teenagers, they don't listen to me. They think I'm old, and I'm not old. I can tell you that right now. They call me a dinosaur. You can ask them. I tell them, if y'all think I'm a dinosaur, what do you think about other people in the church? Y'all are wise people, not old people. Wise people. Right, Mr. Birchfield? You're wise people. But, you know, I asked God, I said, man, why? How can I do this? I doubted, just like the disciples. See, sometimes when God gives us this plan that he wants us to do, or God gives us this vision that he wants us to complete, we doubt. Because we don't know how we're going to do it. When I started playing the instruments and started singing, I didn't know what I was doing. And I asked God, I said, God, how am I going to learn this? How am I going to learn the guitar? I don't know how to move my fingers. You know, I don't know how to play anything. God says, I'll teach you. You just follow me and I'll teach you. Doubt also means that we're self-centered. We become selfishness because we don't want what he wants for our lives, but we want what we want for our lives. Because what we're doing is easy, it's comfortable, it's right there where we're like, okay, it's my four and no more, I'm good, it's everything is good for me, and God, I'm not going to do that. That means I got to go talk to somebody. That means I got to get out of my comfort zone and deal with somebody who I don't really like to talk to, whether it be kids or teenagers or adults. But we all are there. We all are selfish sometimes. We're human beings. And I'm just right there with you. I'm selfish sometimes because I want what I want. And then we also forget about seeing what God has done through our lives. We become self-centered and we see what we have done, and then we forget that the amazing things that God has done, the blessings and the gifts and everything that he's done for us, we forget all about that. The disciples forgot about everything that happened before this and said, Jesus, how are you going to feed these people? We have nothing here. But then, in verse number 5 through 7, he answers this. Verse number 5, and he says, "And when he, Jesus, asked them, how many loaves do we have?" He's saying, how many loaves do you have? They said, we have 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave the disciples to set before them, and they did set before the people. And they had a few small fish, and he blessed and commanded them to set also before them. A vision also requires us to be self-yielded, self-sacrifice. Sometimes we got to sacrifice our time. Sometimes we got to sacrifice our abilities. Sometimes we got to sacrifice, you know, our thoughts or whatever. Doing the will of God, His command, His vision, His plan for us, it takes sacrifice. It takes time out of turning off that TV or turning off or stop doing whatever we're doing and focus on His word just for a few moments. Last night, the question was brought up to the teenagers is how many hours do you spend watching TV? Every day. How many times and think about it within yourself. How many times every day do you watch TV? I know for me it's multiple hours. Especially on a Sunday when I take a nice long nap, you know. But then the question was, is how many hours do we spend in God's Word? How many hours do we spend helping somebody? How many hours do we spend praying over what He wants us to pray over? And when you weigh that out, you know, it tends to be the stuff that we want to do is way up here, and the stuff that God wants us to do is way down here. And the thought was told, what if we switch that? And everything that we did for God was way up here, and everything that we wanted to do was way down here. And the thought, he continued and he said, how much further along for God would we be? How much more knowledge of God's will for our life would we be if we would say, God, I'm going to think about your thoughts and I'm going to think about everything that you want me to do instead of watching that TV show or reading that other book or whatever. And it's easier said than done. I'll be honest with you. It's a whole lot easier said than done. And I talked to the gentleman who said that last night afterwards, and I said, you know, the thing is we're too selfish. We want our own wills in our life instead of what God wants for our life. And instead of sacrificing what God wants, we want to do what we want to do. But we have to sacrifice our time. But what about this? Sacrificing our pride. You know, pride is a huge issue that we all deal with. We're prideful people. And in some cases, that's great. In other cases, that can be bad. Sacrificing our pride means this, that we must humble ourselves before God and let God be the forefront of our lives. Sometimes we got to say, God, I'm wrong. I'm sorry, but I'm wrong. Forgive me. And we have to. Sometimes we have to go through this plan that God's placed before us, to have this vision that God's done through us. We have to say, God, forgive me for the pride that I have. And we got to be humble about everything He wants us to do. You notice the disciples didn't say a single word after Jesus said that. What did they do? They went and placed a thing of bread and a piece of fish right in front of every person. And they just trust that God was going to do whatever they were going to do. And sometimes, a lot of times when we finally get ourselves out of the way, you know, then it's like, okay, then God can continue on. And then lastly, vision or the God's will and plan for our life brings change. It brings change. In verse number 10, it says this, and straight away he entered into a ship and his disciples with his disciples. We follow Christ. We stop worrying about ourselves. We stop worrying about what we want to do. And we start thinking about what God's life for us is and God's plan for us is. And we follow Him. Our lives change for the good for Him. See, again, it starts with our first step that I talked about earlier, our relationship with Christ. When we stop doubting and we stop doing all this, then we start following God. We walk closer with Him. We feel His presence every day when we are close in His will. When we get ourselves out of the circle and we put God in the main circle and we allow Him to work through us, then it becomes, we see a closer relationship with Him. But then also, the kingdom begins to multiply. Remember what He did with the fish? He started out with in the bread. He started out with seven. How many did it end? Seven basketfuls. He multiplied because of what God Himself was doing. If we get ourselves out of the way and we let God's plan go through our lives and shine out through our lives, then God's kingdom will multiply, not because of us, but because of what He's doing through us, despite who we are. I make a mistake every day, maybe multiple mistakes, probably. But when we finally say, God, I want You to work in my life and through my life, then He can begin to multiply His kingdom through us. That's what He was telling the disciples there before He ascended. He wasn't telling them to do their work. He was saying, guys, He said, just let Me speak through you. Let Me have the way in your life. You just let Me work through your life and you will see a great thing that will go through way more than you ever thought. That's what He's telling us. He's telling us that we need to follow Him and be willing to serve Him at any given moment. So we have to have a concern. We have to be willing to act. We have to sacrifice. And we have to let God work through us. Miss Shirley, if you will come and begin to play. What about your plan that God has placed in your life? Is it where it needs to be? Because I can tell you, God's challenged me this week that I am far, far from it sometimes. How is God's plan in your life working? If everybody will please stand and let's bow our heads. I challenge you this morning that if you're not where God wants you to be, I pray that you will ask Him. You don't need to come up to this altar, but if you feel led that you need to, then that's fine and great too. But let God work through your life. And I pray that we as individuals, we as families, and we as church, as a church, will follow God. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace. God, in this next few moments of invitation, God, I pray that people will answer the call to serve You or to just get back to You, God. We are broken people. We are people that fail each and every moment. But God, we're asking You to help us and guide us and use us despite who we are. God, work this morning as You already are. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, just for the next few moments, do business with God. Not because of me, but because of You, Your relationship with God as they begin to sing. Everybody could look up this way. I hope it was a challenge to you just like it was to me this week. God's plan for our lives, it changes, but we got to be willing to serve Him first. So I hope it's a challenge. I hope it was a blessing to you this morning. I pray for everybody this week. I pray that you have a good week and pray everything goes well. Remember, Pastor Brian's gone. Just pray for them. If you need anything, give me a holler. I'll be here at the office every day. So just give me a call and I'll help in any way I can. Just a few announcements before we close out that I was given. August 14th is going to be a work day. We got some sprucing up we need to do around the church building. So if you could come and help that day, August 14th, if you'll see Brother Danny Childers, he's kind of heading that up, and you can get more information about that. And then homecoming, August 22nd, we have the McMahon family coming to sing, and then Brian is working on a speaker to come that day. So we'll have a great service in here, and then we have a great food service down there afterwards. So we are going to have food this year, so come and be a part of that. And I know it'll be a real blessing to you if you come that day. August 5th, we're going to have a kids' pool party for all the kids from kindergarten to sixth grade. So if you want to have more information about that, see Miss Melissa when she gets back, and she can give you more about that. And then this Thursday, we're going to have our terrific Thursday. It's going to be at 12 o'clock here at the church. So all teenagers, seventh grade and up, 12 o'clock here at the church. So please be a part of that. And then Thursday evening, we have manna. So if you want to come and help with that, we do need some help. Wednesday, we'll be boxing food at 10 a.m. And then Thursday from 3 to 5, we'll be doing the manna. So if you want to come and help with that, that would be a real big blessing there. Am I forgetting anything, Marzina? Danny, am I forgetting anything? Okay. Yes, Miss Denise.
I want to go ahead and announce the next ladies' activity. It's going to be in September, but I just want to let you know, so you go ahead and put it on your calendar. We are planning a progressive dinner, and we'll meet here at the church about 5:30 and leave about 6. We'll all go in the vans together. And the first house will be Ann Converse's, and we'll have Sabbath there. And then we'll all ride together to Sandy Blue's house for the main meal, and then we'll end up at Reba's house for the desserts and coffee. And if it's on a Tuesday night, September 21st, so if you're a working lady and you can't make it at 5:30, you're welcome to meet us up at one of those houses that we'll be going to. So I just want to put that there just for you to be thinking about, and I'll have a sign-up sheet out for you next Sunday night for us to sign up. And I just hope everybody can come. Women, not men.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No men, only ladies.
Only ladies.
Sorry, guys. We're going to a baseball game next month, so if you want to come to that, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. Yep. Yeah. So no meal this week, meal next week. So, and that's always a good time. Miss Sandy and the ladies and gentlemen, they cook a good meal. And again, that's why I gained so much weight. So, thank you guys for being here. I hope you enjoy your rest of your day. And remember, I love you. Most importantly, God loves you. Brother Danny Childers, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?